You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, June the 4th. We kicked off summer last week with the Memorial Day extravaganza, five great guests, and now I am ready to lead you into the season with a full head of steam right here on TPC, where there are smiling faces, and we're not lying to the races. We smile because we're telling you the truth, and the truth makes us happy. And I'm going to make you happy tonight because we've got a true barn burner that matches the rising temperatures outside coming your way on these airwaves this evening. I am very excited about this show. But first, let's get to some more good news, and then I'll tell you who's on deck tonight. So we learn by repetition, do we not, ladies and gentlemen? Johnny Depp wins his defamation lawsuit. Now, Johnny may or may not be our guy, as we say from time to time, but I'm sure happy he beat the Me Too movement there. So as Hunter Wallace writes, Brad Griffin at OD, don't get too black-pilled, bros. BLM has peaked and crashed in popularity. Me Too has peaked, and with the Depp defamation win, just suffered a devastating defeat. The great replacement has gone mainstream. Twitter is about to fall under the control of Elon Musk and become a siege engine of misinformation, quote-unquote, in the culture war. The woke lash is sending the permanent progressive majority into the dustbin of history. Roe versus Wade is about to be struck down by the Supreme Court. The Handmaid's Tale is coming true. Young men are rejecting feminism. The New Woman made her debut a century ago, and the culture could easily start now trending in the opposite direction. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. And with that, Brad is referring to an episode in which he appeared on TPC a little over a year ago. It was in the spring of 2021, and Brad was citing the statistics even then. 9 out of 10 Trump voters agree with us that white people and Christianity are under attack in America, and that the mainstream media is identical with the Democratic Party. Since the term racism was defined by wokes to mean any white person in America who is guilty of complicity in systemic racism, 6 out of 10 Trump voters have developed an explicit sense of white racial consciousness. We're also the peaceful ones, not the ones who have been radicalized to the point where they're now saying in the polls that more extreme measures might be necessary to save America. That is true with regards to what happened at January 6th. Those were regular Trump people, not white nationalists. I'm feeling optimistic about 2022 and 2024. Brad writes, I've encouraged James Edwards to run for the United States Senate, but if I did that, Brad, I wouldn't be able to have all this fun on the radio with all my fine friends in the TPC listening audience. But it is true that the Republican Party, the base of the Republican Party, is now seeing things more our way than they do the way of George Will or Mitch McConnell. And so these are the trends. We've been documenting it for a year and a half now. White populism is the future of the GOP. In hindsight, of course, the George Floyd riots and Trump's defeat in 2020 were a major turning point. We didn't get what we wanted out of the Trump administration. Things kind of froze in place under Trump. It was a deeply frustrating speed bump, but public opinion has rapidly changed in our direction under Joe Biden. And that goes back to the what we were talking about with regards to these mass shootings. In light of all of this, why would you pick up a gun and shoot random people to make a point about the Great Replacement? It just doesn't make sense. It makes more sense to continue to let things run their course. Millions of people are coming around. They're joining our ranks. They're coming into an agreement with us on these issues that we've been talking about on this program for now 18 years. So everything that was once associated with the so-called alt-right, isolationism, protectionism, immigration restriction, memes, iconoclastic attitude, relishing the smashing of the precious politically correct norms, that's all mainstream now, folks. People are catching up to us, and we've played a role in that here on TPC. As you well know, even Jared Taylor is getting on the good news party bus. I say even Jared Taylor. I mean, Jared is a glasses half full warrior. I shouldn't have said even. I should say Jared is also publicly on the good news party bus with a new video, Good News White People. And he writes, yes, there's been some and there will be more. Some good things are happening, large and small. And I'm not even talking about all the people who refused to be bullied about COVID or rose up in fury when men stated that they were going to start using ladies' restrooms and competing in women's sports. So Jared has a new video out, and we cross-posted it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, encouraging overlooked triumphs of sanity. So go check it out. Go check it all out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And now let me tell you who's coming up tonight. If you can handle it, you may not survive the show. That's how much talent we're power packing into the next 3 hours. Coming up with me in the very next segment, we're going to go back to London, a little mini march, I guess you could say. We're going to bounce around from London and to Moscow tonight. Yes, I said so. That's where we're going. Adrian Davis, the British barrister, will be back with us for the remainder of this, our first hour, to talk about the results of the recently held French presidential elections and why you should care what happened over there and its significance. Also a big commemoration of the Queen, and we'll find out what's going on with that. It's a holiday in the UK. All week, at least I think it's a four-day holiday. We'll find out about it from Adrian in just a second. But then in the second hour, if all goes according to plan, and you never know with live radio, connecting with somebody in Russia, more difficult now than it used to be, but Sam Dixon is going to co-host an interview with Charles Balsman. So Sam Dixon, our TPC fan favorite, going to co-host an interview with Charles Balsman. Sam not appearing so much as a guest tonight, but rather as a co-host. Charles Balsman, the editor-in-chief of Russia Insider. He's going to be back with us. He was on with us in March, but Charles is back tonight for another thoughtful and fact-based follow-up conversation about the ongoing situation in Ukraine and much more. It'll be another honest inquiry, the likes of which the establishment media is refusing or unable to have. And then, yes, there's more. Third hour, the conversation about Ukraine continues with Mark Weber, another one of these top fivers, one of the top five all-time guests on TPC, a number of appearances logged. And the director of the IHR, Mark Weber, will be with us to continue that conversation by making references to World War II and the larger trajectory of U.S. foreign policy. So talk about a Fab Four. Adrian Davis, Sam Dixon, Charles Balsman, Mark Weber. God willing, and the creek don't rise. If we can connect to everybody across all of these different countries and time zones, knock on wood, that's the show I have planned for you tonight anyway. We'll see if the practice holds up to the theory, but it's all coming your way, and it's all coming your way next. Don't forget, our first quarter fundraising drive is underway. If you like this show, you like what we're able to bring to the table, support us. Check your mailbox if you're a regular contributor, and you'll have something in your mail this week from me, I think. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
All right, well, I'm glad I knocked on wood a second ago. We're having a little bit of issue connecting with Adrian Davis, but I know he's standing by because I just received an email from him. So, Mr. Producer, as you continue to work on making that call, let me know when he joins us, and if we continue to have trouble, I will just email Adrian and tell him to give us a call. In fact, well, I can't do that. You know what? I can't write an email and talk at the same time. I can't think that fast. So while we're waiting on Adrian to connect, and it should be very easy just to dial the number and put in the calling card number and then just dial the that's how we have to do it with these international calls. But anyway, I would just remind you then, ladies and gentlemen, that the first quarter fundraising drive, I actually wanted to spend another moment on that before we get really busy tonight with each and every one of the guests, that it is underway, and it is important that you respond. So I was looking back. You know, we count ourselves fortunate to have the friends that we have and also the adversaries that we have. I don't know which ones I appreciate more. You can't be a hero without having a foil or a villain. And thankfully, there are many enemies out there and many villains. You know what they said? James, this is what they said in, I think, 2006, 2007. Think of all the accomplishments this program has made, thanks to you and to God's grace, of course. Nothing stands up without the audience. But that this program has done more than any in America to promote what they call extremists. Extremists. That was what Hillary Clinton called us, too, many, many years later, right before the Donald Trump election. I think, you know, we've talked about this before, just a few days before that election, the week before the election, the last fundraiser they put out at HillaryClinton.com had my face on it with that we would be, this is how we would shape the country if given the chance. We would be using deportation forces, and we would cut the funding to sanctuary cities. But this is a show, though, I think, folks, that you can agree plays where the action is. It is a program that punches above its weight class and gets you access to the big league. So we would ask that you support us, and we've got some great incentives. And with that being said, we will go now to our guest, the aforementioned British barrister, Adrian Davis. Well, you know, you're not always who you are is not always what you do. But with Adrian, he is not only a successful barrister, but he is also a very capable and effective advocate, spokesman, and representative for our people and our issues. And it's great to have him back on tonight. Happy holiday to you, Adrian. I understand it's a bit of a festive time over there in the mother country.
It's a public holiday in England, yes. We're having the 70th anniversary of the coronation for some reason. The coronation actually took place in February 1952, so exactly why we're having the celebration in June is rather lost on me, but there we are. Yes.
Well, you know, I brought you on tonight, Adrian, to talk about the recently held French elections, and you had shared something with me that it was interesting to me, so I hope it will be interesting to our audience as well. that don't get necessarily too caught up in the presidential election, because there are some other elections coming up in France in June that may be more important. But before we get to that, and I'll let you explain that, if you would indulge me, my friend, could we spend a little bit more time on the royals here? I just think for us here in the States, it's just such a novelty. It's just it's such an oddity, and not necessarily a bad way. I would just like to know a little bit more about what's going on and how people in London and in Greater England view the royals, and what power, if any? I mean, I guess they're just figureheads now, right? I mean, what's going on over there? Explain it to us.
The monarchy is little more than a rubber stamp for decisions taken by the government. Exercises no real power. I actually have a very negative view of it myself, which may sound surprising, but my view is that it serves a role from the point of view of the British establishment, which is to give the impression of continuity in an era of revolutionary change. The England of today bears no resemblance to the England of 1952, when the present Queen was crowned. There have been improvements, and those improvements are all the result of progress in science and technology. We can cure diseases that killed people then, and public health is better, and so on, and materially people are much more prosperous now than they were then. And there has been deterioration. There are levels of crime, social problems, and so on that have just been unimaginable in the London of 1952. The idea that there'd be daily stabbings and robberies and rapes and murders and whatever, it was just part of the rich diversity of our exciting multicultural society, which people of that time have seemed unimaginable. So all the deterioration has been the work of those who misrule this country, and all the improvement has been the result of advances in science and technology for which they are not in any sense responsible. What the royal family does is give a veneer of continuity to a society that has been transformed out of recognition. And I do not admire them for it at all. They themselves enjoy vast privileges. No particular problem with people enjoying privilege, but it's privilege in return for which, so far as I can see, all that they do is act as the system's front men, not to make too fine a point of it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because obviously those were the conclusions that I had drawn. They are basically just celebrities and tabloid celebrities now, and it's a shame, because it can be a, you know, literally a majestic institution. I romanticize about the idea of an absolute monarchy. I think it would be a superior system to this hellish system we have here in America now, with so many different races and cultures squabbling, and it's going to be hard to course correct with the system we've got here as it presently stands. But have an expat, a friend and a supporter of this program, who is an expat who had lived in the UK for over 30 years, and he wrote that, I learned that a significant minority, if not perhaps 50% of the Brits, are not royalists, but they do enjoy the soap opera stories out of the palace, even though they might not necessarily support the Windsors. Is that sort of your finger to the pulse of it all?
The whole thing just bores me rigid. It interests foreigners far more than it interests most British people. And as you say, it is largely a vulgar soap opera. We've reached new depths with Harry and Meghan, who, by the way, the great environmentalists, have flown into London from Los Angeles in their private jet to take part in the celebration. It's astonishing. They have no insight or sense of irony, that particular pair. The idea that you jet across from LA to London for the weekend in a private jet and then give people lectures about looking after the environment, it is so bizarre that anyone with any sense of how bad this looks would have made some sort of effort to find another way of getting here. But oh no, not those two.
Well, I was actually going to ask that as my final question. We'll wrap up this segment, and then we'll get down to some brass tacks and some real substance. But with it being the holiday over there, and as you said, it was the commemoration of the coronation, I guess, and it's came a little bit later than when it actually occurred. But the weather's nicer, right? So how is Megan doing?
I think that's the reason why we actually have a warm day today after the coldest May in 20 years in England and about the wettest. We actually have an early summer day today. It's not freezing cold and chucking down with rain, which makes a pleasant change this year.
Well, you got to get out and enjoy that stuff, my friend. But indeed, the most important question that could be asked is, how is Megan doing? I'm sure everybody tuned in to that one.
Yeah, well, the towering intellect of our era will no doubt have some profundities to share with us, along with her even more intellectually gifted husband. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's definitely not a test.
I've met doorposts with quicker minds than Harry.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Imagine being royalty and settling for that and trading in your birthright.
I mean, for about Harry bringing the good house of Hewitt into disrepute in this way, it must be very embarrassing. That's very unkind.
You watch how he carries himself, and this is actually a teachable moment. Men, don't let that happen to you. Tell he is not in charge.
He really is an example of how abject, pathetic, and henpecked a husband can be. A sad specimen of a man. Ah.
Literal royalty marrying this Z-list biracial. I mean,
fading celebrity. Yes, older than himself, and whose career was on its way out anyway. It's not good taste. It really isn't.
But we've got good taste, and that's why you're going to be hearing from Mark Weber, Adrian Davis, Sam Dixon, and Charles Bosman before the end of the night. We got the first of that magnificent quartet right now. Adrian Davis, we're going to be talking about France when we come back with Adrian live from London right now.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Center for Immigration Studies is reporting new data from the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that U.S. illegal immigration population in the United States has surged 10%, growing from 10.2 million to 11.6 million under the leadership of President Biden. Four people were killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Wednesday after a gunman who was later found dead opened fire at the Natalie Medical Building on the campus of St. Francis Hospital. Tulsa Police Deputy Chief Eric Douglish.
We have four civilians that are dead. We have one shooter that is dead. And right now, we believe that is self-inflicted.
After more than two decades as a Silicon Valley power player, Sheryl Sandberg, Chief Operating Officer at Meta, also known as Facebook, is stepping down. USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
President Biden has pledged to send Ukraine more advanced rocket systems and munitions to more precisely strike key targets on the battlefield. The White House had been hesitant to send more weapons, which have long been requested by Kyiv. The Biden administration will send the systems as part of a new $700 million military aid package for Ukraine. A ruling has been made in Michigan politics.
One Michigan GOP gubernatorial hopeful lost a key ballot ruling on Wednesday. The ruling affects Perry Johnson, a businessman considered to be a leading candidate for the GOP nomination. The decision could also apply to three other candidates, including former Detroit Police Chief James Craig, who's also been scratched from the GOP ballot over invalid signatures. Five other candidates are on the ballot. The winner will face Governor Gretchen Whitmer in November. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
USA Radio News.
We're having a little laugh with my producer and our esteemed guest and friend, Adrian Davis, in the last break about coordinating the different time zones. And he was making mention of the fact, well, Tennessee has two time zones, and then there's Arizona that doesn't go by daylight savings times rules. And a show like tonight where we've got Adrian on in the UK, and then in the next hour, Charles Balsman from Russia, Sam Dixon in the East Coast. I'm on Central, and you just want to make sure you get it all right. And then, of course, Adrian, when we do the March Around the World series, half of the world starts observing daylight savings time at a different time than the other. And just doing the math, I mean, it's easy to get wrong. And if you get it wrong, your show is shot.
Oh, yeah. That's another fun thing. The U.S. and Europe do not change from... change over daylight saving the same weekend. That's really entertaining. That is, it's quite remarkable.
As you said, it's all done to keep us on our toes, and thank goodness we're nimble, because here we are. Well, let's get down to the meat of the purpose for your most recent appearance tonight, Adrian, and thanks again for being with us. But the French elections. So let's go back to the actual presidential aspect of it. At the end of the day, you had Le Pen versus Macron. You were a Zemmour guy, though.
Yeah, I personally have a lot of respect for Marine Le Pen in many ways. I've met her. She's an immensely courageous woman. She's dedicated her life to the cause, which she didn't have to do. She had a successful career as an avocat, which is the French equivalent of a trial lawyer, and had absolutely no need to get involved in politics. But she did, out of conviction, not ambition. Nevertheless, it would be difficult not to voice some criticisms. She has at least as authoritarian a leadership style as her father, who was not a man known for tolerating dissent or even differing opinions for the time. And although she's actually only in her early 50s, she does... frankly, give the impression of having been there a very, very long time, shall we say. Not new and exciting. Now, I'm not in favour of novelty for its own sake, otherwise you chase a candidate like sort of equivalent of Barack Obama or something, whose principal selling point was novelty, when anything else that was actually very interesting about him. But it is... Even before this presidential election, it was difficult to see what she was going to do that she hadn't done already. And I will give her credit for having run a presidential campaign which actually went quite well, considering that that was the perceived difficulty and various other problems that she had, like being dependent for campaign finance on banks with curiously close links to Russia, for example, which is a little bit difficult when the war with the Ukraine broke out and sanctions were imposed on all such institutions. But Zemmour was interesting, and he's quite a provocative person, much more radical than she is. His line on immigration was far, far harder than hers, and his line on racial issues. She, nevertheless, clearly beaten by a substantial margin in the first round of the presidential election, went through to the second, and I thought acquitted herself well in many ways, but ultimately proved unable, although she significantly increased her vote, getting anywhere near President Macron. She polled 43% of the vote, which is an astonishing score for a candidate who is ostracized by a lot of the mainstream media. But still, was nowhere near the kind of vote that she would have to score to win. And I never thought that she had any prospect of winning.
You know, I guess you could look at it if you're observing trends and trajectory and say, well, with each of her subsequent runs for the presidency, she has gotten a little bit closer. Does that mean France is trending in the right direction? And
there is a hilarious meme that some of the Zemmour supporters have put out. It's the presidential election of 20 years' time. And in this election, they've got little campaign posters for President Macron, who by that stage looks like Joe Biden, and Marine Le Pen, who by that stage looks about as aged as Hillary Clinton. And this time the result is 51-49. The Marine slogan is "One more heave next time, and we'll be there." There's clearly an unfortunate situation that division exists, but the division, I think, is the result of objectively different ways of looking at the situation. And Marine Le Pen has pursued a very, very particular strategy, which is her strategy. She has moderated her party's line on race and immigration very significantly. She has completely repudiated anything in terms of a revisionist line on French history, etc., with which her father dabbled, rather oddly, because he was actually a hero of the French Resistance. This was a strange thing, that the old man Le Pen was decorated by General de Gaulle. But she essentially moved the party to a relatively more centrist position in terms of her views on on immigration, demographics, etc., while at the same time moving the party sharply to the left on economic issues. She has very much positioned herself as a champion of those who have suffered as a result of globalization and suffered as a result of the economic policies of the Macron government and indeed its predecessors, which are seen as making the well-off even more well-off and the poor very significantly poorer. That strategy has got a large amount of support, and she comes across well in that respect. She's plainly thought by ordinary people to be empathetic and does very well as a campaigner. I mean, some aspects of this are actually quite ironic, because she herself had a very comfortably off middle-class upbringing, whereas Zemmour grew up in one of the poorest and hardest suburbs in northern Paris. So the irony is that she's actually her Woman of the People Act is a very good shtick, but it doesn't actually reflect the reality of the Le Pen family's own economic circumstances, which were nothing of the sort. I have to say that I found her niece, Marion Maréchal, a much more intellectually impressive and exciting person than Marine, with all due respect to Marine. She backed Zemmour and failed, despite the considerable fillip that her backing was supposed to give his campaign, to push him into the second round as opposed to Hollande. They've had a serious falling out, as you can imagine. So there is the Le Pen family remains as factious as ever. Marine, of course, expelled her own father from the party which he founded, so this intergenerational feuding of the Le Pen family is nothing new. But there will now be elections to the National Assembly after the presidential elections, in which, surprise, surprise, the Rassemblement National, Marine Le Pen's party, has refused to contemplate any form of alliance with other right-wing populist parties, and especially not with Zemmour's Reconquête party. So the two will put up about 550 candidates against one another in the different electoral districts of France. This actually matters rather less in France than it does in some countries, because they have a two-round elimination process, so that any candidate who polls less than 15% of the vote is eliminated after the first round. That will take place, I think, on the 12th of June, so Sunday week. then a second round. This time it's only 1 week's interval. For some reason, there's 2 weeks' interval between the two rounds of the presidential election, but only 1 week between the two rounds of elections, National Assembly. And any candidate who polls more than 15% of the votes entitled goes through to the second round. At that point, it just goes to whoever polls the largest number of votes in that constituency aren't further elimination rounds. So it's a kind of hybrid system. But because of the continuing differences between the Zamor camp and the Marine Le Pen camp, far fewer candidates from a nationalist, patriotic background will be elected to the National Assembly than would have happened if they'd reached an agreement. That is a very, very unfortunate situation. But it is a deliberate decision of Marine Le Pen and the leadership of the Rassemblement National. They would rather that overall far fewer candidates were elected to the National Assembly than that their rivals also do well and have a significant representation in the National Assembly. I disapprove of that choice, but that is their choice and they have made it as a strategic decision.
An expert breakdown that you're hearing right now on the radio airwaves presented by Adrian Davis about the political situation as it is developing real time in France. We are beyond the presidential election, but the very important and perhaps in some cases more important National Assembly elections are coming up, and he's going to tell us when. I know it's just a few days away. We'll find out more. We got one more segment with Adrian, and we'll get right back to him in just a couple of minutes.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Adrian Davis with us, live from London, and we're talking about the French presidential elections, which happened a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago now, as it were. This interview has been a few weeks in the making. I've been wanting to have Adrian back on to talk about this since it happened, and this was the first available opportunity we could do that. And he was sharing with us a little background, some great insights on the situation over there, the background of the Le Pen family, and he personally had supported Zemmour in one of the early rounds. And then, of course, when it came down to Le Pen and Macron, Adrian voted, Adrian didn't vote. He, of course, is a citizen of the UK, but would have supported, was supporting Le Pen. And I remember, you know, hoping for the best, hoping for a miracle, hoping that she would unseat Macron, and understanding, of course, that it was a long shot. But Adrian, you had emailed us at a private group email that we've got with some of our colleagues and said, hey, you know, what could be more important is the National Assembly elections, and that's what we're talking about now. Unfortunately, yes. I don't know if it was known to you or at that time. It certainly wasn't known to me that there's a little bit of infighting between people of a very similar mind, and I think what you would have liked to have seen, and in some of these seats, they come to an agreement. You're stronger here. You run your guy. We'll withdraw. We're stronger here. Let us run and take the lead, and you withdraw, and then collectively you can make some real advances. You got the two-round system there, which could be beneficial. So with it being as it is, though, Adrian, how's it looking for us? Is it possible for the good guys to make some gains in the assembly?
There's no doubt that what might be called the patriotic or nationalist or populist camp will make gains. It can almost scarcely fail to do so. One of the reasons why is that the mainstream conservative party, Les Républicains, curiously named, obviously very similar to your Republicans, is in a state of absolute disarray. Their candidate did humiliatingly badly in the presidential election, and they're in terrible, terrible trouble. Their more liberal supporters are tending to gravitate towards Macron. Their more socially conservative and patriotic supporters to one or other of the various right-wing parties, and they themselves are suffering from support hemorrhaging in both directions, which is actually an extremely good thing. It will allow the populist right to institutionalize itself more. But there is no doubt, as I say, that the decision taken by Marine Le Pen and the leadership of the Rassemblement National has been a policy of complete non-cooperation with other rightist parties. They would far rather see, what can I say, they would far rather be rid of their competitors than themselves make greater progress, and that will be what—that's what their strategy is. It's not even concealed. They think the short-term loss of potential, not to make such big gains in the short term, is from their perspective worthwhile to put themselves in a hegemonistic position in terms of the movement in France. It's a brutal and cynical strategy, but it might work for them, although at a cost. It's very obvious what they're doing, and very controversial in rightist circles in France, but they are absolutely determined upon it. There's no point beating about the bush. That is what they are doing.
Okay, so that's where we stand, and there is some reason for hope that some of these more local elections will go our way, even if the presidential election...
Well, they're not local elections. These are elections, the French equivalent of the House of Representatives.
Yes, oh yeah, correct,
these are important elections. These are not elections to merely local politics, where there are an enormous number of elected positions that of county and state level and so on in France, but these are to the National Assembly, which is precisely the equivalent of
Congress,
the lower house of Congress. The equivalent of the House of Representatives.
Adrian, when do these elections take place?
They take place over two weekends. As I said, the 12th of June is the first round, the 19th of June the second. I do not know for what idiosyncratic reason it is that the French space out the two rounds of the presidential election over a fortnight and the two rounds of the elections to the National Assembly over a week. Rather like the matters we were talking about earlier, I suppose it just keeps you on your toes, doesn't it? You've got to remember that this time it's 7 days between voting the first time and voting the second time, not 14. So it keeps you lively, yes.
We will tap dance. We will tap dance with all of these different eccentricities in our systems. But how bad is Macron? I mean, break that down for an American listening audience. Is he as bad as it gets? Is he a little bad? You know, I know some people ostensibly on our side say, you know, there is, if you could look at him through a certain lens, he could be used. Is that possible?
I don't think he can be used. He's certainly not the worst possible. The worst possible was the far left candidate with a somewhat unpronounceable name of Mélenchon, who really it makes Bernie Sanders seem like a country club Republican, and it is a deranged Marxist playing to the lowest elements of the population, and complete danger to frankly, pretty well anyone. Who isn't a Marxist extremist. So Macron is certainly not as bad as it gets. He can be a lot worse than that. I think he's a very strange person. He's a very bizarre, narcissistic personality, immensely vain. On the other hand, as with all French leaders, he has at least some independence of mind. He doesn't necessarily blindly follow same line as the United States, for example, on every subject. He's tried to maintain some margin for maneuver in relations with Russia, for example, although rumor has it that the things to which President Putin looks forward the least are his heart-to-heart chats with Macron, which are roughly equivalent to having a tooth extracted without an anesthetic. Macron's egotism and vanity are such that dealing with him is disagreeable to other international leaders. He's a fairly centrist candidate. He was elected on the promise of bringing about some form of ill-defined change that would cure France's various social and economic problems, which he's completely failed to do. And his second term is unlikely to be a particularly happy experience for him, simply because the guilt has come off the gingerbread, as they say. He's no longer a new, shiny, exciting candidate. And the problems remain. The problem's very intractable. It's a country where people have an expectation of, frankly, in many ways, better lives than people in England and the US have, because you retire at 55 on a full pension in a great number of state-controlled industries, and a full pension is really rather lavish, and you don't work that hard even when you're working. So, condition, put it this way, the condition of a great many people in France is a lot better than their equivalents in England and the US. The trouble is that this is all funded by selling the debt of the French state to whoever will buy it, which at the moment, it has to be said, they have little difficulty in doing, and not properly funded through the taxation system or any other way. So it's a country with long-term problems. People have very, very high expectations. It has traditionally had very, very high levels of public services. Socialized medicine in France is far better than England. I've been in French hospitals and English hospitals. There's no comparison. The standard there is infinitely higher. The standard of French infrastructure, the roads, railways, and so on, has traditionally been very high. But it's not necessarily economically sustainable. It has poor demographics with an aging population, a shrinking tax base. And how they're going to carry on with this sort of thing, I don't know. Equally, the French population, unlike the English population, is apt to go mad and start rioting and smashing things up and fighting the police at almost any provocation. And one of the joys of being president of France is you never know who's going to kick off next. It's a problem Macron had in his first term, and he's not going to be any more popular in the second term. In his second term, he'll have it's almost a Weimar situation. You have a lively far right and a lively far left. It's not a good combination to be a centrist president presiding over that.
Well, it's why we talk to you, Adrian. Well, one of many reasons, of course. Every time you're on, it's a fantastic program, and I really appreciate your expert analysis on what has taken place in France. Of course, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, why do we interest ourselves in this? Our race is our extended family, so our extended family extends beyond borders and beyond oceans, and Adrian coming on tonight to talk about what's happening in France. It is important. It is a world leader from his view across the channel there in London. And Adrian, we hope for good news later this month with those General Assembly, National Assembly elections, rather, which, as you mentioned, is basically akin to the lower house of Congress here in the United States. Important seats where we and our ideas can make gains. And if it goes well,
they will make gains. But I have to say to you that they are not going to be what could be achieved. They will not reflect the aggregate votes for the right-wing parties because they cannot agree amongst themselves. And as a result, that vote will be fragmented. It is a very, very unfortunate situation.
But it is not an unusual one, unfortunately, within our ranks, and it is something that we're going to have to do better about. We got to do better, folks.
It isn't unusual, but its impact varies from country to country. In Italy, for example, where there's a pure proportional representation, party list system doesn't matter because the number of seats that you win reflects the number of votes cast for you in aggregate. That is not so in France, still less in England, where we have a constituency-based system similar to your congressional district-based system.
Adrian, I'm sorry to cut you off, my friend. We're just about out of time. I know you'll enjoy the rest of your holiday there, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. We're going to head over to Russia now with Charles Balsman, and our good friend Sam Dixon will be on with us from Atlanta to join in on that. Adrian, always, always a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to the next time already.
And with you, and I also look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you, Adrian. Talk to you soon, my friend. Godspeed. And for the rest of you, stay tuned. We're not going anywhere. In fact, we're just getting started. Great hour coming up. Can't wait for it.